The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Gary says, as a middle-aged, unthreatening man who's lived in Dublin for many years, I'm nervous walking around the city centre at night, especially at the weekend. I regularly feel a box in the face as a distinct possibility. Can only imagine what it must be like to be a woman. And quite a few comments from men coming in along those lines and saying, however bad it must be, it is for them, what must it be like for women? 0874100102. What it was like for women in the 1980s in Ireland? Well, that is being recalled today by the reopening of the Kerry Babies case from 1984. Now, as it happens here in the office today, some of my production team in The Last Word, who weren't born back in the 1980s, had no idea what this case were. When we told them about it, when they started reading into it, they were just absolutely outraged by what could have happened back then. We'll talk in a few moments to Dr. Mary McAuliffe from University College Dublin, lecturer in gender studies there, a little bit about how it was handled at the time and what it meant. But we've asked Aoife Barry, who has been looking at this from thejournal.ie, to join us, say, assistant news editor. And you were only a small child when this actually happened.
Yeah.
How did you become familiar with this case?
Sure, well, I think I'd heard about the case in it, you know, being mentioned before, but then I studied women's studies. I did a master's in it in UCC well over a decade ago. It probably be gender studies now, and we discussed it then because we focused a lot on Irish women's history, the role in women of women in Irish history and how things had changed. And it was just shocking learning about this and about cases like the Anne Lovett case, which all kind of happened together around the same time and really pushed Ireland into being a new Ireland.
Yeah, the Anne Lovett case, just for people not familiar, 14-year-old girl, if I remember rightly,
yeah,
Granard in County Longford, and she died giving birth in a graveyard.
Exactly, it was just a case that it was one, like this story, it took a while for people to even become aware on a national basis of what had actually happened. Anne Lovett's death was an absolute tragedy. It happened in 1984, and then a couple of months later, in April of 1984, you have the body of a baby that's found on a beach in Carrisaveen on White Strand. A jogger that's going past there notices something in the rocks, thinks it's a doll. It turns out to be a baby that's been stabbed multiple times, and that kicked off the story of what became known as the Kerry Babies case.
Because the Gardaí started conducting an investigation as to who may have had a baby at that age who could have been murdered. So how did they conduct that investigation?
Well, what's very interesting about this is that as part of their lines of inquiry, they're basically looking for somebody who perhaps had an unwanted baby, as they were calling it at the time. And that's what led them to Joanne Hayes, who's just 25 years old. Now, they did pursue a few other lines of inquiry, but they couldn't seem to find anybody that could be linked to this particular baby. They realised that this woman, Joanne Hayes, had actually approached a hospital. She'd said that she had had a miscarriage. It transpired she hadn't had a miscarriage. She had actually given birth to a baby. And they arrested her. They spoke her family. She told them that she had actually given birth to a baby on her farm, that the baby had died either just slightly after giving birth or while she was giving birth to the baby, and that she'd buried the baby on the farm. The Gardaí believed that she was the actual mother of the baby found on White Strand. And, you know, through different confessions, which the family later said were coerced out of them, there ended up being a tribunal, of course, about the Kerry Babies case. They said that the baby had been killed on the farm and had actually been thrown off Slay Head, and that was how it had ended up on that beach because of the currents there.
She was never brought to trial though, was she?
No, she wasn't, because what happened there was it actually transpired, what's very interesting is that she was arrested and charged with the murder of this baby, but then it transpired that there was no DNA testing at this time. It transpired that the DNA of herself, and then they subsequently found the baby on the farm, which she had been telling them was there and the Gardaí didn't necessarily believe was there. They found this baby. Joanne and the father of the baby had the same blood type as the baby, and the first baby found on White Strand had a totally different blood type, which you or I would lead people to believe that they weren't related at all. The Gardaí continued to pursue this particular line. Eventually, the DPP, the Director of Public Prosecutions, threw out the case. They said it was an amazing case because the Gardaí were trying to prove essentially that Joanne Hayes had become pregnant by two different men at the same time through a process called superfecundation, that she'd carried two babies with two separate blood types, had given birth to them and had killed both of them. And this is what they charged her with. Afterwards, herself and her family, they did interviews with the press and they said they'd been coerced. They said, you know, lots of different things had happened that had led up to these confessions, because her family had members, some of them had confessed to taking part in the first alleged murder of the baby on the farm, which they believed was related to the initial baby. It was an absolute incredible case. It led to a tribunal after a Garda report into the case.
And I'll come back into what's happening today with you in a moment. But let's bring in Dr. Mary McAuliffe, because that tribunal was an extraordinary thing as well. What are your recollections of it?
Oh, the tribunal was, the Lynch tribunal set up to look into this was extraordinary in that it further demonised Joanne Hayes, who, if as was said, was completely innocent of anything to do with the Cara Syvene baby and had been proved by blood typing that she was innocent of this. But the whole idea of a deviant, sexually active woman, Joanne Hayes, was obviously an unmarried mother. She'd already had a child, a daughter. She was conducting an affair with Jeremiah Locke, who gets off very easily in this whole story. And interestingly enough, at the same time, Jeremiah Locke's wife, Mary, was pregnant. So Mary Locke and Joanne Hayes are seen as two aspects of womanhood, the Jezebel and the maternal, the proper, respectable maternal woman. And so this is the type of attitude that's taken to Joanne Hayes in the Lynch Tribunal. The Gardaí are let off very lightly, even though they had behaved abysmally in Kerry at this time. The lawyer for the state goes really, really hard on Joanne Hayes and further traumatises her and re-traumatises her during the tribunal. I think what really came out of the Lynch Tribunal was the attitude to women, and particularly female sexuality, that was so prevalent in the 1980s, the idea that women's bodies and women's behaviours needed to be controlled, regulated, contained within the domestic, within a particular performance of respectable femininity, and Joanne Hayes wasn't that.
But Mary McAuliffe, I think also may have been a turning point that lots of men were absolutely horrified by the treatment of Joanne Hayes by the state, by the attempt of the Garda Síochána to effectively to fit her up, to make her guilty of a crime that she hadn't committed. And many men as well just saw the entire hypocrisy with which she was being treated. It may have been something of a turning point in social attitudes in Ireland.
It certainly is a beginning of a turning point, and it fits in with so many things that are happening at that time. In that year, the Granard case is mentioned with the death of Anne Lovett in the grotto in Granard. You had the Eileen Flynn case, where Eileen Flynn, a teacher in New Ross, I believe, was dismissed from her post for becoming pregnant, even though she was in a stable but unmarried relationship. So her lifestyle wasn't seen as in keeping with the ethos of the state. In 1984, the Supreme Court said that illegitimate children had no rights of succession. So there is a real backlash against, I suppose, the liberalisation of Ireland that perhaps happened in the 1970s through feminism to joining the European, the EC as it was then. Men and women were horrified of what was going on. And one of the interesting things about the Joanne Hayes case is the amount of women who turned up in Tralee, local women, women from all over the country to support her, and the amount of men who turned up, the amount of men and women who wrote into radio stations, who wrote letters about concealed pregnancies and unwanted pregnancies and how they were so difficult to deal with in Ireland. You had people protesting outside the Lynch Tribunal at the treatment of Joanne Hayes. And then you had the amazing journalism of people like Nell McCafferty, who were bringing this sort of thing into our living rooms through the newspapers. She wrote a book out of this called A Woman to Blame, but her newspaper articles were required reading at the time for those who felt that Irish society needed to open up, to transform, to liberalise, to allow women and men to have more freedom in the life choices they made. And so, yes, you could say it's a beginning, it's a new forging of a new attitude in society, and perhaps that it's the beginning of the beginning.
Indeed.
I
remember Nell's work then, also the likes of Jean Kerrigan as well, and McGill writing magnificently about it all. But Aoife Barry, take us forward to today. So because this all happened, that tribunal was 33 years ago. So today the Gardaí decided to make an announcement. Now, we're going to play a little bit of Superintendent Flor Murphy again in a moment. Well, we'll try and get that because we had it at the start of the programme. We'll try and get it again. But just tell us about why the Gardaí reopened this case today.
Sure. Like, I think, first of all, it's fitting to say that Nell McCafferty described what happened as medieval, you know, and it's easy to think this happened many, many years ago, but it was 34 years ago. So today what happened, well, actually, if we go back to yesterday, we, all as reporters, you got the same here, I'm sure, got an email in saying that the Gardaí and Cara Syvene were going to be holding a press conference evidence today at 2 p.m. to do with the Kerry Babies case, to do with Baby John, which is the name of the baby that was baptised, that was found on White Strand. And immediately we were all wondering what was going on, what was this going to mean. Today it was announced by the Gardaí that they've conclusively announced that Joanne Hayes is not the mother of that first baby that was found in White Strand, which is only confirming what everybody has really known over the past 30-odd years.
That's what I said earlier in the programme. I just couldn't get over that. Well, hang on. You needed a DNA evidence to actually tell us that what we already knew. Even going back to what you said about the blood types.
The blood type, exactly. So now we have a full DNA profile of Baby John. So the Gardaí have apologised, which is, I suppose, the most important thing here in one way, is that they've apologised finally to Joanne Hayes over what happened. They apologised to her, to give her a formal apology. Superintendent Fore Murphy said, after all these years, Baby John deserves the truth. So putting the spotlight back on Baby John.
Well, actually, let's hear what he had to say. Let's hear a little bit of it.
Advances in DNA technology now allow an Garda Síochána to establish a number of important facts that enable new avenues of investigation into the death of Baby John. Principally, a viable DNA profile has been obtained from samples taken from Baby John in the course of the original investigation. This sample has been examined and compared, and as a result of this analysis, we can conclusively state that Joanna Hayes is not the mother of Baby John. We have been in close contact with Joanna Hayes through a family liaison officer since the DNA sample confirmed this. She has been informed of the results and the investigation. At all times, Ms. Hayes has cooperated fully with An Garda Síochána. The Acting Garda Commissioner has written to Ms. Hayes to formally apologise to her on behalf of An Garda Síochána, and I will now restate that apology. It is a matter of significant regret for An Garda Síochána that it has taken such a long time for it to be confirmed that Ms. Hayes is not the mother of Baby John. On behalf of An Garda Síochána, I would like to sincerely apologise to Ms. Hayes for that, as well as the awful stress and pain she has been put through as a result of the original investigation to this matter, which fell well short of the required standards.
Mary McAuliffe, I'm sure that apology is very well intentioned, but even the notion that it has to be conclusively confirmed via DNA that Joanne Hayes was not the mother, the Gardaí made a hames of this investigation. They tried to effectively fit the facts to accommodate their story. And they're now saying 33 years later, well, we have the DNA now, so we can conclusively confirm that she wasn't the mother.
Well, I'm very delighted for Joanne Hayes and for her family, and as a Kerry woman myself and from North Kerry, I'm delighted to see her vindicated. Certainly, everyone believed that she wasn't the mother of Baby John. But I think there are two aspects here. Number one, the focus on Joanne Hayes meant that the Gardaí moved away from actually finding what happened that child that was found in White Strand and Carras Aveen. And now, 34 years later, they need to reopen that investigation because obviously that baby was killed. And number two, over the last 34 years, certain members of that investigative team have continued to insist that Joanne Hayes was guilty and the theory of superfecundation actually did happen. So I'm glad to see that An Garda Síochána have officially and conclusively said that Joanne Hayes was, as she said all along, not the mother of the Carras Aveen baby. And the blood type, the blood typing had shown that she couldn't have been the mother 34 years ago, and it's a pity it's taken so long for it to be conclusively proven, but I'm glad for her and for her family, because it wasn't just her mother and various members of her family were called in and interrogated, and what happened in that interrogation room certainly didn't reflect well on the Gardaí as well. But also I think the state has a duty of care to Joanne Hayes. What they put her through in the Lynch Tribunal needs to be looked at again in light of this new evidence.
Last word to Aoife Barry looking at this. I mean, is there an indication the Gardaí have any lines of inquiry to follow now to find out who were the parents of baby John and how that baby was murdered.
Well, the fact they have a DNA profile now means that they can actually start looking, you know, in terms of, they say, looking to find people, to speak to people that they want to talk to, try and link baby John to somebody. But I think my heart goes out to, you know, if this was, you know, a family or people who are involved here, who now have to go over this again, and, you know, the whoever killed this baby is going to have to be found. So there's going to be another huge case that has to be dealt with here.
Actually, listener Michelle and Rahini says, I'm totally confused about the Kerry babies. Was the baby on the farm killed by Miss Hayes? That baby doesn't get a mention. No, that baby died in birth.
Well, the tribunal said the baby died in birth, but the tribunal also found, despite forensic evidence to the contrary, that Joanne Hayes did strike the baby after it had died. So the tribunal's finding there again slightly went against the forensic evidence. So the baby was found in a decomposed state, the baby on the farm, because a length of time had lapsed between Joanne Hayes telling the Guardian not. So it'll be, the next steps now really are going to be dredging up all of this that happened over 30 years ago, trying to find the links, trying to see what exactly happened to that poor baby that was found on the beach, and Joanne Hayes finally has her apology. But this story, it doesn't end here. It's going on to a new chapter, and one would hope that it's an indication of how things have changed in Ireland, but there's still many other things that have to change in society still too around these sorts of issues.
Aoife Barry from thejournal.ie and Dr. Mary McCullough from University College Dublin, thank you both very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.